Why, how do you do? I hope I'm not late.
Oh, not at all. It's a great honor to have you with us, Mr. Root. It's an inspiration to the children.
Oh, the honor's all mine. I'm always glad to be with my pals. Come on, boys, let's go.
Yes. Hey, Mr. Bay, will you give me a bag? Right.
Give me a bag.
As cliche as it may seem, George Herman Ruth was, indeed, larger than life, both in his impact on baseball and his reverence by the public. He was the idol of youngsters throughout America, thanks to prodigious power and a gregarious personality. The amazing statistical achievements remain a relevant topic in the realm of our game's history. But what's becoming rarer over time is the number of first-hand accounts. That's why we at Baseball As It Was are so privileged to speak with his only living daughter, Julia Ruth Stevens, who got to do what she loves most, talk about the man she was raised by. To us, he was the babe. To her, he was, and still is, Daddy. Well, Miss Stevens, first of all, thank you so much for joining me. Your father is one of the most important figures in baseball history, and that goes without argument. His pitching ability with the Red Sox, followed by his unprecedented power numbers as a Yankee, make him, in most people's mind, the greatest player of all time still. If you can recall, was there a point during your youth in which you realized that your father was not just a baseball star, but an American icon?
Oh, my. Well, I honestly don't know that I ever really considered him that, but he was terrific. And not only as a baseball player, and this is something I always like to bring out, is the fact that he was a wonderful father. And he just was so loving and understanding, and I loved him so much, and I loved to go to the ball games and watch him come up to bat, and it was just thrilling the way that the crowd reacted. There was an absolute hush as he came up to bat, and then they'd cheer. And then they'd stop and wait for him to hit a home run, which, of course, he didn't always do. But when he did, oh, they would just cheer, and he would round the bases with that little trot of his, take his cap off to the crowds, and go into the dugout. And that was a wonderful thing. And I saw him hit quite a few of his home runs when I wasn't in school or in camp or something like that, but it was a thrill. It was a real thrill to watch him hit one of those, sometimes out of the park.
How often did you get a chance to watch him play, if you can remember? Like, how often did you get to go to the ballpark?
Well, actually, I got there quite a lot, unless I had an awful lot of homework and stuff to do. Why, Mother, of course, went to the ball game every day, and she traveled with him and went to all the games on the road also, which was kind of hard for her, but she did it, and my grandmother lived with us, and she took care of me and Dorothy while Mother and Daddy were on the road.
Babe had a great affection for children. Did that desire to please youngsters and to be a devoted father to you originate from the way he was raised, having spent the majority of his childhood at St. Mary's in Baltimore, part reformatory school and part orphanage? Did those experiences influence him, in your opinion?
Oh, I think so. That was one of the things I think that influenced him the most, because there were so many young boys in there, and in addition to him, and it was just so sad, because as he grew up and left the place, you know, he kept thinking about them. And he just wanted to. He would. I know when he wound up in New York with the Yankees, he would visit orphanages and places where young boys were incarcerated, and he always would tell them, get a hold of yourself. And one of his favorite sayings was, don't let the fear of striking out get in your way.
Now, your mother, Claire Hodgson, met Babe Ruth in 1922. They were married in 1929, and then he adopted you as his daughter shortly afterwards. How did he and your mother meet initially?
A girlfriend. Well, Mother was on the stage, and one of the stars of the show, in fact, the star, was a man by the name of Jim Barton. You probably are too young to have ever even heard of him, but he was quite a star, and he used to do different acts, and he knew Daddy. And he said to Mother, "I'm going over to a party that Babe Ruth is giving, and would you like to come along?" And she said, "Oh yes, I love baseball." She said Ty Cobb was a neighbor of ours in Georgia, so she went with him, and they went to the party. And as they were leaving, she said to him, "You know, Mr. Ruth, you drink too much." And he was astounded, absolutely astounded. And he said, "May I have your telephone number?" And she looked at him and said, "Well, yes, I guess so." But anyway, to make a long story short, they did meet, and he was separated from his wife. But of course, he was a Roman Catholic, would never marry as long as she was alive, and she was living with somebody at the time. Mm-hmm. But that was Helen Woodford, and I guess it was in 1929 that he saw Mother during this time, from the time that he met her, and he'd visit us. I lived with my mother, my two uncles, and my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And he would come and visit us, and I think he just loved being with a family. And he'd have home-cooked meals, and he was really looking forward to the time when he would be able to partake of that as he went on, and he was probably hoping that the time would come when he could marry my mother.
It is impossible to watch him at bat without experiencing an emotion. I've seen hundreds of ball players at the plate, and none of them manage to convey the message of impending doom to the pitcher that Babe Ruth did, with the cock of his head, the position of his legs, and the little gentle waving of the bat feathered in his two big paws. New York Daily News.
How was the Babe Ruth that we perceive to know in the public eye different from the one that was at home?
Well, when he was in the public eye, he was especially when he was at bat in the ball game, he always was trying to please the crowd, because he knew that they had come to see him hit home runs. And if he didn't hit one, if he just got a hit, if it was a single or a double, he knew that he had disappointed the crowd, because they came to see him hit home runs. So he was always in there slugging, just trying to get one out of the park.
What was his relationship like with two other baseball legends? You mentioned one of them. What was his relationship like with Ty Cobb, as well as former Yankee teammate Lou Gehrig?
He had a very good relationship with Lou Gehrig. Not so much with Ty Cobb. He didn't care for his style of playing. He was always out there with the spikes.
Mm-hmm.
And Daddy didn't think that that was a very nice thing to do. So I think he did team up with Ty Cobb to sell war bonds, but outside of that, they had no relationship.
The most talked about moment from your father's career, among the many great moments, was his called shot in the 1932 World Series against the Cubs. We've heard,
Yes,
we've heard opinions from all angles on its mythic qualities. Where were you for that game? What do you recall from that day?
I was not there. I was in school, but my mother was there, and of all things, Cardinal Stellman was there, and he saw Daddy gesture towards the bleachers, and I can't, let me see, I think it was Charlie Root was the pitcher, and Charlie Root said that he'd seen that, that he would have dusted him off. Well, the fact of it was, when he wound up to pitch, he turned with his back to the batter, and then he came around with the pitch. So he didn't see Daddy point with his back to the bleachers. And Daddy hit the home run, and I guess it has been one of the most famous stories that have been told. Well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But as I said, Cardinal Stellman was there, and he said absolutely he did. Mother and Cardinal Stellman would swear to it.
I'll never forget, it was a tough series. Both clubs riding each other, doing everything to get each other's goat. Well, after this one particular time when I went to bat, Charlie Root was pitching. And the first pitch ball was a call strike. Well, I thought it was outside and didn't like it very much. So the boys that were there would give me this, on you, on you. Well, the second pitch ball was another call strike. Well, I didn't like that one either, so I let it go by. Well, I stepped out of the box, and by that time they were over there going crazy. Well, I looked out at center field and I pointed. I said, I'm going to hit the next pitch ball right past the flagpole. Well, the good Lord must have been with me.
As I said earlier, so many well-documented stories from his life, but is there one in particular that goes unnoticed in which you're most proud of?
Well, I guess it was probably the one where he went to visit little Johnny. Oh, he was sick, and but he was a big baseball fan, and he was in bed, and his father went to Daddy and asked him if he would come and visit Johnny Sylvester, and he did, and Johnny Sylvester was so thrilled to have Babe Ruth come and visit him, and he did start to get better, and I think that is one of the things that I remember most was Daddy would do anything for kids. And he did a lot for the Police Athletic League in New York, and anything that he could do that would help children get a start on life that would be a good life, he was right there to do it. Because he remembered his own youth at St. Mary's, which was not very good, except for Brother Matthias. Mm-hmm. And Brother Matthias, of course, was the one who got him started. He saw the potential in Daddy, and he took him down to the Baltimore Orioles, who, of course, was a minor league team at the time, and introduced him to the manager. And he said, I got a kid here that I think you might be able to use. So when the ball players were sitting on the bench, and he walked in with Daddy, they said, oh, here comes, oh my goodness alive, I can't remember the manager's name. But anyway, he said, here comes so-and-so with his latest Babe. And the name stuck. That was the way he got his name of Babe Ruth.
Your dad retired in 1935 after a short stint with the Boston Braves. He had a great desire to become a manager, first with the Yankees, only to be rejected by owner Jacob Rupert, and then he would be deceived by the Braves organization in the end. They promised him a managerial role initially, but really had no intention of doing so. In fact, he would never become a manager, despite openly asking for one. How much did that hurt him in the years following his retirement?
It was never-ending, absolutely. Every day I can remember when Daddy would come home from playing golf. Golf was his salvation because he was not one to sit around the house and diddle his fingers or anything like that. He had to be out doing something. So he took up to playing golf, and he became a pretty good golfer. He used to play in pro-am tournaments, but every day, when he came home and he'd say, did anybody call? Well, she knew what he was talking about. Did anybody call to offer to interview him? And she'd always have to say no. And his shoulders would kind of drop, and he'd go on and get comfortable and sit in the living room. Well, at first, it was radio, and then when television came along, actually it came along almost at the time that he died, 48.
You generously accepted invitations to Major League ballparks on your father's behalf, recently throwing out the first pitch at Wrigley Field last May as part of the stadium's 100th birthday celebration, and doing the same prior to the final game at the original Yankee Stadium, the house that Ruth built, in 2008. How much pleasure do you take out of going to these games, representing your dad and the family as well?
It gives me a big thrill. It really does. I do everything that I can to keep his name alive as the greatest baseball player that ever lived. And anytime I'm asked to do anything, I'll do it. And they always make arrangements for me to pick me up and take me where I'm supposed to be, and I love doing it. I really do, because I always feel like I'm doing it for Daddy.
How strong is your interest in the game today, and was becoming a devout baseball fan directly due to your father's involvement in it?
Oh, very likely. I used to go to a lot of ball games with Mother when I could, and I did. I love baseball. And as I said, Ty Cobb was a neighbor of Mother's where she grew up. So she knew him as baseball, and so she was very interested in baseball and knew quite a lot about it by the time she met Daddy.
In the many years since his death in 1948, the legacy of Babe Ruth hasn't lessened at all. What do you hope those who talk and learn about the history of baseball remember about your father, say, 50 years from now?
Well, that's a question. That is a thing that I think is handed down. Grandfathers tell their grandsons or their sons, as the case might be, about the greatest baseball player that ever lived and all the different things that he did and how he hit the 60 home runs, which stood for quite a long time before it was broken by Roger Maris. And poor Roger, he did not really get any wide applause. Everybody was sorry to see the record broken. And he had a very hard time after he broke the record. Then, of course, after that, there were several people who broke his record of 60 home runs. But my mother used to have a saying about Lindbergh was the first man to ever fly the Atlantic solo, and Daddy was the first one to hit 60 home runs, and nobody remembers who flew the Atlantic the second time. It was always Lindbergh. So as far as she was concerned, Daddy was the star because he was the one who hit the 60 home runs first, which was just unheard of back in those days.
New York's Yankee Stadium, the house that Babe Ruth built, celebrates its 25th anniversary. Stars from New York's 1923 World Champions and other later-day Yankee heroes appear in a baseball tintype. But biggest cheers from 50,000 fans go to the immortal star himself, Babe Ruth. Today, the Babe wears his old uniform for the last time. His famous number 3 will never be worn by another Yankee player, but will go to America's baseball shrine at Cooperstown, New York. For old time's sake, Babe takes a cut for the cameraman. The familiar stance and swing that once made him the most fearsome slugger of them all. His 1927 record of 60 home runs still stands. Yankee Stadium celebrates its birthday with one more salute to American baseball's greatest guy, Babe Ruth.
That June day in 1948 would be his last public appearance, as he succumbed to throat cancer just 2 months later. In the years to follow, several of Ruth's records, including 60 home runs in a single season and 714 career home runs, would be surpassed. It doesn't, however, diminish his tremendous presence in baseball lore. Once again, a great thank you to Miss Julia Ruth Stevens. I hope you enjoyed listening to this as much as I enjoyed talking with her. For Baseball As It Was, this is Brian Wright.
So long.